Testing, testing, we are there. Me, Reed? No. Well, good. I'm glad to be here. I love being here, you know. And all right, so recently we've had a few people go. But you know what? That's great, isn't it? We have been in a church that has served American congregation for 30-something years. And over the years, we comings and goings is just a fact of life. One year, you imagine, you're worried. We lost 40 in one year. So, you know, life is comings and goings. But it's making the best of what you've got while you've got it. And then praying for others to come. Thing is, what you've got to see is you've got something to give. And therefore someone, I remember a quote, I'm going to preach in a minute, but it was this one. It said, you were created for a purpose. Everything is created to meet a need. Why was a spoon created? Soup runs through your fingers. Why? Seriously, everything was created to meet a purpose. Therefore, why were you created? To meet a purpose for somebody, for something, in some situation. But you need to start seeing that this congregation's got something to give. Why has it got something to give? Because it's got you, and you've got something to give. We bless you. But anyway, all right, let's get back to the Bible then, shall we? Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your ever sure promise that you will build your church. And we thank you your church consists of living stones, each one needed, each one placed in a specific place for a specific purpose. So today, Lord, as we come, your word teaches us we are fellow laborers with you. Would you come and just help this building? Wise Master Builder, come. And we thank you. We thank you for those that have been through this congregation and have blessed us. And now, Father, we thank you for those that you're bringing. Even today, you said we have not because we ask not. So we ask. You've got the people who could be a blessing in this congregation and will be blessed by this congregation. So come. Speak a word to us today. Would you encourage our hearts? We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your spirit. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, who remembers what I spoke last time I was here? Very apt, this. Because you've forgotten. And the title of last time I was here was Forget Not. So what can I say, eh? Psalm 103, verses 1 through about 5, but I'm only going to do the first three, I think. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. And last time I finished with he forgives all your iniquities, and I said I would pick it up again from there. I'm devastated. I thought there's such an impact on your life that you would just... Thank you. I appreciate that. He forgives all your iniquities. Remember what I taught you last time? The actual word is perversities. And perversities actually mean this. To go off the straight and narrow. Of course, none of you have ever gone off the straight and narrow. I look around and see a wonderful congregation of saintly people. But Isaiah 53 and says 6 says this, I think, that all we like sheep, each of us has turned to his own way. All. You know, sheep are wonderful things, but they're stupid. No, they are. They're kind of like, they're just, hey, man. Just muddle through life. And we Book of Proverbs. My wife tells you I'm reading Proverbs at the moment. It's full of wisdom, you know, and that's why it's called the Book of Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death or destruction. All of us like sheep. The grass is green. Yeah? Not realizing over the cliff we go. We're all done it. Well, Andrew. Not you, Emma. Andrew. All we like sheep have gone astray. But thank God. Jesus came to what? Seek and save the lost. If you're a Christian today, you should have... I like saying this. I like boasting in the Lord. I am 73. I always call myself 74, by the way. I look older. I am 73 years of age, and I still get excited about Jesus. I still get excited about being saved. And for somebody today, I still get excited about the future. Yeah? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men the good things that God has planned for those that love him. And I like that because I cannot imagine what it's going to be like. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man. Whatever your perception of the future, you cannot conceive what God has. While I remain, fruitful labour, but then. But that's not for today. So, the good shepherd came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to pay for our perversities, for our going off the straight and narrow, for our sin. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who in his own body on the tree bore our sin. Jesus paid for our sin. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. In his own body on the tree bore our sin. He also became a curse as he hanged on that tree. I haven't got more time, but if we want to think about it, why did Jesus say, my God, why have you forsaken me? For at that very moment, he bore the sin of us all. He became a curse. See, that picture of Jesus laying there with a wonderful little smile and glorious sunshine and everything, and it's not what really happened, is it? That he bore my rebellion. He bore my sin. He bore my shame. He bore my perversity. I like that word. Because when we, oh, he's a pervert. I'm going to say something to you all. You're all perverts. Lovely, I know. That's what I'm saying. Because it means to go off the straight and narrow. It don't mean a lifestyle, well, it does, because we're in a lifestyle of sin. We're sinners by nature. But it means just to go off. Walk up to someone and say, hey, brother, you're a pervert. We can see it in others, but we won't see it in ourselves.
How did you know that?
Well, it's the way you walk. Anyway. Back to what we're talking about. My wife's looking at me now. So, what I want to say to you is this. That we're going to heal all our diseases. Yeah? Ready? Disease and sickness is part of the curse. For those of you who have more time, when you get home over lunch, Deuteronomy 28 verses, first 15 verses. oh, God's going to bless me. Blessing the country, blessing the city, blessing the comings in, blessing the comings out, blessing the kneading bowl, blessing the fruit of your womb, blessing the fruit of your livestock. The enemies will come against you one way, will flee from you some seven ways. You're going to be the head and not the tail. You attend only upwards and not downwards, and so on and so forth. That's the first 15 verses. Who remembers what the next 45 verses say? But cursed will you be if you break the law, basically. So I'm sorry to say, all of us were under a curse because we were lawbreakers. Jesus bore that curse. All right so far? Galatians 3:13. What is the curse of the law? Death, sickness, lack. Jesus bore your death in this life and your eternal death. Jesus bore your sickness, and I want to talk a bit more about that in a minute. And he also bore your lack. That's why he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Someone said to me once, are you a prosperity preacher? Yes, I am. Do you know what that means, that word? See, everyone slanders it. But it actually means to do well. So you can have nothing in your pocket and yet be prospering. You can have your pocket bulging out with pound coins. I was going to say pound notes. Pound coins. But you're not prospering because you ain't doing well. To prosper means to do. Why did Jesus die? To deliver us from death, to deliver us from sickness, and to deliver us from lack. That's why I'm very careful with the word I'm using. That we might do well. All right, so people get all hung up with money. Does that make you a better person? In fact, probably, no, it makes you worse, because some people have got a lot and then they just get worse, don't they? So money don't solve the issue. What solves the issue is dealing with the root cause of our problem, which is sin. Christ died to deliver us from the consequences of our sin. All right, so far. That's pretty good, actually. Why does God bless us? You're like, he ain't got nothing better to do, sitting around in heaven holding up the world. And why does God bless us? Why does God want me to be saved? God knows, he does. That's why he sent Jesus. Why does God want me to do well? That's good. Yeah. Huh? That's pretty good. Could we put it like under a big umbrella of this? We are his advertisement. Which is quite frightening, really, isn't it? But we are his advertisement. What's it look? Why did God choose Israel? Historically. Well, huh? Good. 3/4 of it. What's the rest? I did not choose you because you were a great people or a what's it people, but I made you a nation of kings and priests, so all the nations of the earth might know. God wanted to have a people that he could bless so the world could look at them and say, man, look how God looks after that lot. I want to be part of that lot. And those of you who like the end times thing, come, let us go up. No, we won't. God wants to bless you. You're sitting there thinking, I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I've not prayed enough. I've not this enough. I'm not. God wants to bless you. Why? So people can see what a good God is like. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says this, you are ambassadors for Christ. Now imagine if your ambassador comes, you know, maybe some country, you won't pick on any country, but their ambassador comes in to this great big government, you know, League of Nations thing, and he turns up and he's a right rat bag and kind of scruffy. What are you going to say? Well, first you're going to look at him and think, but then you're going to think, what about the people he's supposed to represent? What about where he comes from? What about the governor, the king, the whatever? We are ambassadors for Christ. God blesses us so the world might see what a good God looks like. And if those of you who struggle with the book of Psalms, is it 42 or 46? I'll look it up in my notes. 42 and 5. No, that's not what you want. Psalm 47 and, that's it. Psalm 67 verses 6 and 7 says this. God, our God, he blesses us. Yes, he blesses us. Why? That all the ends of the earth might fear him. Why does he bless us? Because all the ends of the earth might fear him. I love it. I look around, some of you are so excited. You are blessed. Now, right to be a blessing. Right because he just wanted to lavish his love upon us because that's his nature. But also that we might be his notice board. People should notice us. That we are different. I've been good so far. I've been quite quick, haven't I? Good. Where's it? I love this story because it just amplifies it. And this is, we're queuing up, lining up. We've got no Americans here. We're queuing up. An American woman came up to me once and says, is queue a dirty word? Because Americans don't queue up, they line up. Anyway, so there we are, queuing up, my wife and I, in Tesco's. And I get happy. Not overly happy. I'm not dancing. I'm just kind of like, I have a Twitter in, singing or humming or doing something. And the woman at the counter says, where's he been drinking? She noticed. I thought that was weird or whatever, but she noticed. My wife turns around and says, because she's very spiritual, he's been drinking at the well. And you can see this poor woman sitting there thinking, I know all the pubs in Brandon, I don't know one called the well. Listen, we are blessed. Blessed in our comings in, blessed in our goings out. Blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Blessed when you get out of bed, blessed when you go to bed. Why? Because Christ has borne the curse. See, there's no sense me talking about healing unless you understand that it's yours. Otherwise, you're on this slippery pole of always trying to be good enough, do enough, pray enough, think enough. It's got nothing to do with you. You cannot save yourself. You cannot deliver yourself. You certainly cannot heal yourself. Find the inner you. Your inner you's messed up. That's why you need a saviour. But Christ has done it. And that's where you need to come out of this room today. The thinking, Christ has done it for me. So if salvation was in the package that Christ won for us, so is healing in the package that Christ won for us. There's no distinction. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. And now I'd like to talk to you very quickly, and this is where we're going to go, about your diseases. Because straight away, when you hear that word, you think what? A physical condition. But that's not really what it totally means. When Jesus, one day, there's a guy laying on a bed. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Get up. Remember that one? And everyone starts moaning, saying, who's this guy that he can forgive sins? Only God freaking can forgive sins. And Jesus says this, which is easier for me to say? Rise up, or your sins are forgiven. But that you might know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, take up your bed and walk. The connection between sin and some physical, mental, emotional condition. We are more than just what you see. In fact, some of us, you see more of us. We are more than that. You are a spirit, you are a soul, you are a body. Yeah? So when you were born again, your spirit was made new, raised from the dead, the whole kit. Spiritually, you're alive. It's hard to believe sometimes, but spiritually, you are alive. So that leaves us with two areas, doesn't it? Our soul and our bodies. Our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings, our will, our mind, our choices, our ability to choose. Can I say, and the body? With our spirits, we touch God. With our bodies, we touch the world. With our soul, we touch, kind of, we are what we are. All right, so far? I want to say to you that you can have a disease in your soul and not necessarily in your body. In your mind? How many people at this moment have got healthy bodies but are diseased in their minds? Or diseased in their emotions? How many people at the moment are emotionally destroyed, shut down, whatever? So we need to be careful, because dis-ease means this, to be not at ease. Are you all right so far? We need to get this revelation today that Jesus has dealt with the things pertaining to our life, the things that make us not at ease. I'll give you one out of Proverbs. Let me find it for you very quickly. Where am I? I'm here. It's Proverbs chapter 5. Who's got their phone with them very quickly? Oh, maybe I've not written it down. You know me well. Anxiety in the heart of the man causes him to stoop. My wife will look it up. I think it's Proverbs 12, but my wife will put me right. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes him to stoop. Strange scripture. Authorized version, heaviness in the heart of a man causes him to bow down. And what is it?
12:25.
All right, I've got the first half. Proverbs chapter 12, all right? 25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes him to stoop, or causes depression. So hang on, what has caused depression? Anxiety. What has caused anxiety? To be not at ease. Is that fair? Please nod if you, is that? Because you need to get it. Jesus has dealt with your disease. See, we can pray for the sick. Ooh, that's easy. It's when you start saying, but Jesus wants to make you whole. In Acts chapter 9, there's a crippled guy. And in a modern translation, he's prayed for, and they say to him, Christ Jesus makes you, Christ Jesus heals you. Yeah? Authorized version says this, Christ Jesus makes you whole. For it is the same word that is translated heal, also can be translated to make whole. Jesus wants to make me whole. The whole thing of this salvation is not just to whip me off to heaven when I pop my cogs. But it is that God can undo what the curse has done. And that the curse has broken mankind, destroyed mankind in their minds, in their emotions, in their will. It has physically destroyed so many. And yet Christ came to undo the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says this, for this purpose was the Son of God revealed or manifest. What? That he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus come? To destroy. And I think the word is where we get that word anathema. It means to bring to nothing, to totally. Is someone getting it now? But see, healing and deliverance and all these things, we make such a big thing out of them, of themselves, but they're not. Christ has already won it. That's why the Bible says all things are possible. Why are all things possible? Because Christ has made it possible. Why? Because he has undone the works of the devil. He has destroyed the works of the devil. That he might destroy him who has the power of death. Hebrews chapter 4. And that is the devil. He has destroyed him. In the sense that he's the work. Why are you telling me all this, Ken? Because you need to start blessing the Lord. You need to start looking away from your situation and start looking to the answer. You need to start looking away from, I'm not. But through Christ, I am. Do you know what the Bible says? We are complete in him. Well, hang on. If I'm complete, that must mean that there's nothing lacking. So where I am at the moment, diseased, broken, struggling, and don't get me wrong, we all have to fight this fight of keeping our minds and our emotions and our will. But I want to say to you today, you're not winning the victory. The victory has already been won. You are struggling to align yourself with the victory. Does that change your perspective? You can see what I'm saying? That if it's me now, if only I could grip my teeth more, if only I could be... And I'm going to tell you something, you're going to fail. That's the voice of experience. But when I can say, he has already done it. I just need to apprehend that for which God in Christ apprehended me. I just need to lay hold of that. That's when it manifests. It's, isn't it? For some of you struggle. I struggled. Oh, you don't know where I've come from. My friend, if you knew where I was coming from, I can tell you today that he who has begun this good work in me shall complete it. I want to tell you something today, that I am being transformed. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you already said it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And we could say, has come, in that Christ has done it, is coming as I apprehend it. Does that make sense to you today? You should walk out this place and say, bless God, I am not what I was, and I am not staying here. Oh, that's why. Let me just give you a few things to think about. He heals my diseases. That's why you can't sleep at night. There's that anxiety, that tension. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gives his beloved sleep. We could go on and on and on. Christ has made it available. And I think the biggest problem is we just do not. And sometimes you need someone to pray with you. Just look, I'm struggling this, pray with me. And then if they want to start going back into your grandfathers, brothers, uncles, snotty nose, don't have any of that rubbish. What you want is Jesus. And then they say to you, in the name of Jesus, I slap a hand on you and ask, do you mind if I just teach a bit more? 5 minutes. You shall lay the hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you know what? There's nothing in your hands. If you're looking, oh, the man of God's going to lay a hand on me, and I'm going to fall down and get up exactly the same as I was before. It's truth that sets us free. It's knowing that it's mine. You see, I can't call the devil a liar until I know the truth. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17:17 says, Father, sanctify them in the word. Thy word is truth. Listen to me. I'm telling you, hopefully I've spoken a lot of Bible to you today. Truth. Why? Because the entrance of your word, Psalm 119, I think, verse 89, says, the entrance of your word brings light. Suddenly the light goes on. And you can turn around and say, well, that's mine. That's mine. I may not be living in it at the moment, but I am going after it. And the devil comes around and lies to you, and you say, well, I'm going after it. And tonight, I'm going to take that word, and I'm going to sleep. And I guarantee you, halfway through the night, the devil will be there giving you a prod. And you wake up, and you think, but God has already done it in Christ, and it's mine. And that's how it works. And you walk out, and you woke up. I don't know what you want to do. Let me tell you a story. I broke and dislocated my shoulder. You've all heard that story with a woman in the mini. A woman in a mini. You've got a mini, haven't you? Gone? Oh, good. A woman in the mini puts me up in the air, drives off, breaks and dislocates my shoulder. So on and so forth. Now test me in and all of itself. Anyway, I end up, by trade, I'm an electrician, so you need to have your hands above your head. After about maybe a year or two, I can't lift his hand up, but it's like this. Of course, it's not really good, is it? All the lights are like this. Now, so eventually I go to the doctors, and the doctor does whatever he does, and I thank God for it. He says, oh, my friend, you've got arthritis is setting in. And I'm what? I'm less than 30 years of age, and I'm thinking, this can't be right. So I'm not a happy camper. And I'm in church. And then one day, of course, because what do? We keep on until it keeps coming. Don't give up. You shall reap in due season if you do not faint, if you do not give up, if you do not lose heart. How many people, their healing was just on the horizon, and they give up? Fair enough, Bible? Oh, do you want a bit more? Be like the farmer who patiently waits. Why? Because he knows the process will work. As soon as he sticks that seed in the ground, my wife's done a good one there. She's a better preacher than me, actually. Says he waters it. How do we water it? God, when you're going to do it? God, I'm believing you're going to do it. God, you've said it's mine. God, this isn't a lie. Where I am is a lie. John 8:44 says this, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Thy word is true. And that's how it works, this Christian life, be it forgiveness of your iniquities, when you come to Christ and say, please forgive me. And he forgives you. Healeth all your diseases. Lord, it's already been done. You've broken the curse that was laid on you. Today I come and believe you. My one, I'm now 73 years of age. I can't die yet. Why? Because I'm not satisfied. What does that mean? Psalm 91, verse, last verse, with a long life you'll satisfy me. And one day I'll think, do you know, I'm going home. Because I'm satisfied. Pull up my tent pegs. Off we go. Can I just close with one last story? It's a lovely one. We had a woman in our church who comes from a Christian family. And she got converted when she was 4. And her dad was just the loveliest man. He got converted going over on one of the troop ships to go to, I think it was D-Day or somewhere. He tells the story, he got saved. So he comes to our church now, and he is like 95 when he first started coming to us, maybe, probably. Oh, he comes from the West Country. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I can't wait to go and see him. Oh, I'm going home soon. Oh, and the church would just be up there giving it the whoop, whoop, you know. He's just infectious. So COVID comes, and the man is dying. And the family's been told that, you know, he is dying. He's 100 years old. So he says to the daughter, and he says, am I going home? She said, yes, Dad. Oh, wonderful. Could you say that? Oh, wonderful. Who goes on a journey? Those of you who didn't know, my wife and I, in a few weeks' time, are going on this Caribbean cruise. And I'm excited about it. Why? Because of the destiny. Not the cruise. I understand you can eat well. I understand it's kind of pleasant. But that's not the thing. I'm going to a place that I've not been. I've heard about. I've seen pictures. And I'm excited about going there. Christian people, you should be excited about what God's got for you in this life and in the next. Why? Because Christ has delivered us from the curse. Why? He forgives all my iniquities. And he heals all my diseases. Now, I would be amiss if I went away now and just left it at that. I'm not going to pray with anybody today. Or is he going to pray for the sick? No, I'm not. I want us to stop just for 2 minutes and think, what's giving me grief? That preacher? No. What's giving me grief? What's taking away my peace? For Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor be afraid. Trust in God. What's taking my ease? And sometimes it is our families, conditions, our finances, our marital status, our non-marital status, our, you name it. So many things seek to rob us of life. This is the last one. John 10 and 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have just enough to get by. Oh, I tell you, some of them translations are terrible. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. And abundance is always means this, more than you can use. More than enough, forever. All right, but anyway, is that good? Shall we pray? I just think we'll just take a couple of minutes and then Pastor will come and close us out. Let's take a few minutes. What's causing me? Why are you cast down, O my soul? That's quite heavy. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within? Trust thou again in God. Hope thou again in God. Maybe today someone just needs to hope again. Maybe you've carried the burden for a long while and it's been grinding you down and wearing you away and causing anxiety. And I believe God would say to you today that you're not meant to carry that burden. Christ came to take that yoke, that burden. And what does he say? He just says, come unto me. Maybe some of you are feeling dry and your spiritual life's really kind of What does Jesus say? He said, all you thirsty, come unto me. The invitation now by the Spirit of God is this. Come. Come as you are. Not as you think you should be. Come as you are. And maybe there's one today and he said, come and just say, save me. I am a sinner. I need to be saved. Maybe there's some today who are sick in their bodies and say, Lord, I'm taking you as my healer today. Heal my body. But maybe there's some whose mind is really cast down, heavy, depressed. But you came to lift that. You came to let the light shine in my darkness. Maybe there's some whose emotions have been severely damaged. by what people have done to you. Maybe just put life in itself. But Christ came. Christ Jesus makes you whole. And you need to take it today. Let your faith arise. Reach out to God. Take him at his word. I believe God. Yeah. Just for one or two of you, there are hurts. There are wounds that you feel are unjustly being distributed to you. You didn't deserve it. You deserve better. Well, firstly, the Bible says Christ left us an example through the things that he suffered, that we should also walk in his steps. But secondly, there is a healer in the house. I believe that in my heart. I'm just speaking to, I can think of two right now at least. And I've been looking around this room, sort of scanning everybody in the room earlier. There are two at least. And this is a word for you. That there is a healing of the hurt. For whilst this broken leg may have been mended, you still walk with a limp. But Christ Jesus wants to straighten that out and make you whole. I know the Spirit is speaking to you now, and I know this is the voice of God because I feel it rising up in me. Today is your day.